Mornings with Bucky and Aaron are brought to you by Bud Light.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
Final hour of our program on this Tuesday morning. That's going to feel like a Monday for a lot of you. So hope you enjoyed the three-day weekend if you had it. We're enjoying being with you, talking Cowboys football, the NFL, wild card weekend now looking towards divisional weekend. Also, Bucky's on a three-day week. You got to make your picks tomorrow, my friend.
Yeah, you know what? I'm starting to, you know, Bosa's not going to play probably for the 49ers, but hey, it's just a little concussion, Zay. Get back in the game. You'll
now,
be all right.
Now, here's the deal.
Shake
Bucky,
it off.
And let's be fair to the Buck over there. You are on a 14-1 run.
Yes.
Of your Gold Star lock picks. You know, when you're losing games, which you were for a while, you are much maligned.
Yes.
I don't see a lot of credit being given to
you.
No,
they're not giving that. They're thinking it's all luck now. No. This is what you call
14-1.
This is called handicapping now.
Because I think you've made so got to get your overall.
If you could count the Rams, which I was deadlocked on yesterday and during the show.
What's that?
Because I didn't think Kyler Murray and his little pity-pat steps could outrun the Rams, and he couldn't last night.
Said
he was throwing hand grenades to the other guys for touchdowns.
Oh, man.
Do you think they're evaluating if Kyler Murray can be an NFL quarterback for the long haul? I mean, he really does. You know, Doug Flutie was 5'9". Now they're saying Kyler Murray's 5'11", and can see through those little gaps. Dude, he was having a hard time seeing through the gaps last night, Zay. You know what I mean? And he couldn't take those little, you know, the little pity pat steps that he takes around the corners when he gets around there, and those little legs are shuffling.
Yeah, I think for the long haul, it's going to be tough for him because he's going to lose a lot of athleticism.
Because he's going to get hit.
Yeah, and he's not going to get any taller, so I think teams are really starting to figure him out.
I do believe you're right on that. I don't think he's going to get any taller.
Well, because
they had to stretch him out at the draft, right?
Fudged his height. Here's a stat that's amazing. Before I give this, can I say to you, Mr. Godbolt, that because of your 14-1 run, you've now made 63 picks. Okay, you were, after 48 picks, you make three picks a week that are your Gold Star locks. You were 23-25 after 48, so you were two games under 500. But by my math, St. Edward's math, so let's double check it.
Which is good. It's good Catholic
you've
math.
You've gone 14-1, so that makes you 37-26, which again, by my math, suggests that you're hitting right now at 70%.
Back that up there, McKay. Get ready. Get ready.
Somebody do the math for me. I'm doing this off the top of my head, but I think if you're 37-26, you're right at or approaching 70% correct.
Which I said I would hit this year.
No, your bet was you'd be closer to 70. He said you'd be closer to 40.
Then I would be to 70.
I think you're at 70.
Oh, I'm going past that. I'm just getting warmed up.
Well, so 37-26. That's pretty good, my friend. That's pretty good. That's damn good.
But now you're telling me Bosa's not, you know, if Bosa's out by a little old concussion, say, I mean, a guy's going to miss a playoff game in Green Bay because it'll go away. A couple hits, things will go away.
Ain't that what you told Ricky when he was coming over to the sideline, thinking that he was playing in a San Diego sandlot back in the day, and you're just told him to get back in the game?
I said, you'll start remembering the plays. It'll come back to you.
You're just a little. You've seen bells for a second. That's hilarious. But no, props to you. You're right at 70. You math made. Tell me if I'm right on that. That's off the top of my head. But I believe you're at 70 at 37-26. You've made 63 picks. You've hit 37 of them. That's pretty dang good. So props to you.
Well, you know who I generally fade is that dude that comes on with Trey Elling and Chad, the bartender from New York that comes on their show during the week, Zay, on Thursday. What's his name?
The bartender?
You know the guy,
that they made a movie about?
Oh, Brendan Lang.
Brendan Lang?
Yeah. I fade that dude as much as I can.
Brendan Lang am I right when I hear Brendan Lang on our station that that's the guy Matthew McConaughey portrayed him in the movie?
Yeah, that's him.
Yeah,
that's him.
Yeah,
yeah. But he gets his picks from. He goes opposite of the bar. So what I do is I go wherever the bartender goes. I go opposite of Lang.
Well, then he's 1-14 in his last 15 picks.
Yeah,
He's hurting. But let me give you this stat. When you guys talk about Kyler Murray and can he be a successful quarterback, I think we've always thought his height will be a problem. There are times in that end zone play last night, he can't see over the line. You know, when his offensive linemen stand up and here comes the pass rush, he's having a hard time finding those windows. I really believe that. But at the same time, you know, he just looked.
Yeah, I got too many people saying 58%.
58? No, I think it's 70. 37.
There's one guy that says 70. Somebody's saying the Catholic math is bad. 58.6.
So if you hit 37 of 63, is that really 58? Somebody do the math. I know I'm doing it off the top of my head, but
at least get me
somebody
in
said yes.
It ain't 70.
Huh?
It ain't 70.
It's got to be in the 60. It's got to be close to at least 60,
yeah,
right?
Something like that.
37 in, so 58.75%. Okay.
No, that's, damn, that stinks.
Well, but you're getting there.
But I'm getting closer.
You're getting there. Well, I said this off the top of the show, but I'll say it again. With Kyler Murray, how much of this is on Cliff Kingsbury, too? And I think this is revealing. If you go to Cliff Kingsbury, all the way back to 2013 at Texas Tech Buck, let me just run through this. This year, they were 10-2, and they lost 5 of 6 games. Okay, 10-2, lost 5 of 6. In 2020, his second year there, he lost 5 of 7.
Right.
There goes your ice cream truck over there.
There it is.
In 2019, as the first-year head coach, lost 7 of his last 9. Okay, that's his NFL record. So just terrible at the end of the season. But if you go back to Texas Tech, 2018, lost his last 5 games. 2017, lost 6 of 8. You know which one of those wins was, by the way? Over Tom Herman with the razzle-dazzle play in 2017. But lost 6 of his last 8. 2016, lost 6 of his last 8. 2015, lost 4 of his last 6.
His team's fading.
It goes on and on. It's every year for Cliff Kingsbury. So this is nothing new. And this is what they're talking about in the desert. If you think I have that stat, they have that stat. They're looking at this saying, this guy can't finish a season. I mean, this guy, again, doesn't make adjustments to the adjustments. And the team fades on him. Why is that? I mean, it's a very fair question. And, you know, why was Cliff Kingsbury was hired? Because they had the number one pick and they knew they could draft Kyler Murray. It's not unfair to say those two are latched together. One's success is going to be judged by the others, and they were both a failure last night, and they were both really bad down the stretch this year, aside from that Cowboys win. They did win at AT&T Stadium back in late December. It was their one win in their last 6 games to end their season. So, I mean, I think it's the same fair question for both. Is Cliff Kingsbury an NFL coach? Like an NFL head coach. I think it's the same, you know, we're having the same conversation with Mike McCarthy of what is he doing in Dallas? What's
well, the
his
good
role?
Ones have to fire their group up, especially at the end of the season.
Motivate.
When everybody's hurting, when everybody's found you out a little bit, you have to come up with some new things late in the season to get your team to win. And you can't have a bunch of penalties, and you can't have Kyler Murray trying to outrun guys in the NFL. Because he's already taken enough hits now that they seem to catch him. Early in the season, Zay, he's flying around. His legs are all healthy. This time of the year, against the Rams last night, he couldn't outrun them. He was trying to get to the corner, and they wouldn't let him get to the corner last night. They said, no, you're going back in there with the rest of those big guys, with Aaron Donald coming down there at full speed, and the rest of them. We're gonna make sure you have some cutbacks here today.
Yeah, it was not a good, and you know, Craig Way will be up next with Light the Tower. You got to give the Rams credit. Sean McVay, speaking of motivated, that team came on fire. You could tell they were blistered by what happened last week to the 49ers when they were up 17-3 and, you know, couldn't hold the lead and ended up coughing up the 2 seed. Because think about it, for the Rams, I heard Craig Way say this yesterday, if the Rams had held on and beaten the 49ers last week, they would have been the 2 seed playing the Eagles. The Niners wouldn't even have made the playoffs. So the Cowboys would have had to play the Niners. They would have had a nicer. They would have played the Cardinals.
Do you think that
likely.
Staff of the Cowboys thinks about that kind of stuff, or are they trying to figure out how to spot the ball in the 2-minute drill at practice?
Well, I know Stephen Jones sounded pretty adamant yesterday, and maybe they're right. I can't. You know, I'm just an observer of the Cowboys. I'm not a fan. I can't watch this team and think that. That's as good as they can get at head coach.
I mean, I got somebody telling me, Bucky, if you're 70%, that means you're C-. Zay, C-minus.
In the world of gambling against the spreads, that's very, very good. By the way, you are 58.7%. If you were through the picks you've had, you'd have to be 44 wins to get to 70. But so you're not too far off. You need one more good week to be able to say close. But that's not true. You're much closer to 70 than you are to 40.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're 12 percentage points to 70. You're 18 now percentage points back to 40.
And I was.
So you're in a good place.
And I was a kind of C-plus student, and in Catholic school, a C is a passing grade, right?
C's earn degrees.
Is that the St. Edward's deal? C's earn degrees. That's all you're looking for, Zay. Is that they don't give you like,
hey,
you got graduated from the University of Texas with a B student as a B student. No, they just say you graduated, right?
Yeah.
They don't put down C's.
It's universal.
Is it?
Mm-hmm. All you get is the cap and gown. That's it.
You don't get any,
you don't get anything else. Just cap and gown.
And unless you're trying to go to graduate school or something, how many job interviews have you ever had where they said, well, what was your grade point average?
Ooh.
None? Zero?
I graduated.
How many people I've interviewed here at this radio station in the past for jobs that I never asked for their transcript. I mean, what was your GPA? Now, some of them.
Well, I was a C student. You shouldn't go around telling people you were a C student, though.
But that's all right.
No, you graduated, right?
You graduated.
I'm a graduate, yes. I have a college degree.
But I would also say from his wedding on Sunday, Isaiah Collier gave all of his grades here.
Yes.
For our participation in his wedding, which he and his wife and families worked very hard on.
Mm-hmm.
You earned a C. You earned a passing grade for your work at the wedding. You were not, let me see if I got this right, Zay. You were happy that he was there. He was there early. He saw the ceremony.
I was dressed fine. I was dapperly dressed, Zay.
Yeah?
Yeah, you were clean.
You were there for the ceremony.
I had my orange juice. I drank you out of cranberry juice.
Well, that's good.
You might be a C-plus now.
What, that UTIs that was drinking all that cranberry?
Yeah, cranberry straight. We also, so you were there for the ceremony, so you heard the vows.
Yes.
You heard Zay do his vows, did a great job.
Because I wanted to see the families. I wanted to see people. I like to see people in the chapel. I want to hear what the minister has to say. I wanted to see if Zay, for the second time when he was laying those vows down, was he as thoughtful and wonderful as he was the first time when he said, I do, in front of Haven, the judge, Judge Haven.
No, Haven was your original.
Yeah, and let's not forget June 26th is the day you actually legally were married.
Yeah, well, thank you. You stay with that. That's what I got you for.
Well, so I'm the one who keeps you in
don't,
that one?
Don't try to get me to get her two gifts. That ain't happening. That damn show ain't happening.
See, we're already at the that ain't happening deal. It was just in June.
What do you mean gifts? You got to get her gifts?
Yeah, like anniversary
gifts. Two gifts?
Try to have two anniversaries. That's what Buck's trying to do.
No, that ain't
happening.
I'm just trying to help your boy Haven out, who was a little bit hurt that the new minister was making it all about Sunday and that Haven's deal was just, that was fake.
Well, Haven works with us, but he was your officiant back in June when you got, because just the wedding.
So now I'm going to have to tell Haven, you know what? You really weren't for real on the 26th of June because I remember the date.
No, it counts.
Oh, it counts. No. He's the OG.
But the happy couple gets to pick what they officially call their anniversary.
And if she gets a chance to pick two, she's picking two.
And let's be fair, this wedding was supposed to happen last year, but COVID got it. So that's why you did the quick ceremony.
But
I got to see. Well, so you were there at four for the start. You saw the vows. And can I give Zay a shout out? Because during his vows, he got a promotion in for his own show.
How about that?
He finished his vows talking about the right call. Basketball show.
I like that, huh?
Yeah, I did like
that. That was some good marketing.
Hey, I should have looked to the crowd and said Thursday night, 8 to 9. But
yeah, I was waiting
that would have been a little much.
That's how Zay finished his vows, is I know that I've made the right call.
I'm like, wow.
That was awesome. Way to go, Zay.
Threw that in there.
So you were there for that, and then we did cocktail hour, and that was, Zay, I will say Bucky was very, out with us, talking to all the Horn people.
Absolutely.
And wives and folks,
yeah.
And it was great. And then problem is, though, like it was the cocktail was over, and then about 6 o'clock it was time to eat.
Yeah, see, I started
and
making my move.
No,
that's when my head started spinning, like, what is the time I get out of here? Well, first of all, I said, I can't leave until I meet Zay's mom. And I start talking to Trey. See, that's the bad thing. If I start talking to Trey, automatically I'm just trying to be deceitful or doing something. Having a conversation with him automatically puts you in what are you up to mode.
Well, essentially, for folks who weren't there, which is all of you, Bucky left as Trey arrived. So somehow you guys like passed a baton. I did notice this. Trey arrived.
He actually sat down with us. He was there. I was
sitting. And then you were gone.
Well, I said when
you were gone.
When the food chain goes, because I know the groom, all those folks are going first because I was about to jump in front of all of them so I could say I got something here. But I looked to the left of me, and Rod Babers and his lovely wife were going out the back door with drink in hand, taking the glass like it was complimentary real glass to take home. Thanks for coming.
They snuck out the back.
Yeah.
But Rod did tell me early on he was going to try to get home for the fourth quarter of the Cowboys game, even though we were streaming the game right there. We're watching it.
And Trey, who comes strolling in, you can't come into somebody's deal. You can't come in 2 hours after the ceremony starts. That is...
Well, he showed up. I know. Because he RSVP'd, and Zay said it right. It's a financial thing. You guys made food for him because he RSVP'd for food.
What I did was give someone an extra plate with all those heathens there eating the way some of them
were
eating.
Well, I would also say to the financial side, Zay, he didn't drink any alcohol, so that's good. So that might have offset the food portion.
Although I'll buy you some cranberry juice if you need it. I'll get you some cranberry and some orange juice. But I met your mom right at the buffet line, said hello to her. She had those little gloves on because everybody's wearing gloves because, you know, it was a super spreader event. And I said, no, don't take off your gloves. I just wanted to say hi to you because I've never met you. So we had a little conversation. I walked her down the lane there. She was getting her food. And then I went out towards the back because it's always, at my age, I got to use the bathroom. I'll be right back.
See you.
The minute I didn't come back.
No, hell
peace
no.
Out.
He's out. And the lady said, you can use that exit. She already knew what I was trying to do. She said, but don't go back that way. They'll see the back of you on the way back.
Zay, how late did you guys go? Because I left. Here's what I saw. I saw the two great toasts that your new wife's sisters did, which were great, and her dad. Your Papa CC did a great toast for you and your friends, which was awesome. Then my wife really wanted to see the first dance because she heard you talking about the first dance that you were going to cry. And essentially, what was that song? That you sang the whole thing to your lady.
Yeah, that's Honesty by my man.
Was it Johnny Gill?
Pink Sweats. Nope.
Pink Sweats?
Pink Sweats, yeah.
And so the guy was singing, Zay was like karaokeing to his wife.
Was he all loud?
Oh, yeah.
And
no,
crying?
No,
crying?
No, kind of romantically, like only she could hear it. It was pretty good. Way to go, Zay.
I want to do the Very Michael romantic. Corleone and give you the envelope and stick it in your... I wanted to see you with a bag in your hand so I could have done the Michael Corleone, but there was a little box up front. And that's why I'm glad Trey wasn't there, because he would see me stick that envelope in the box. He'd have been like the mail people out there in Dripping
Stealing
Springs
it.
That got me.
No, it was fun, though. And then the one thing I didn't do, but Trey actually got a higher grade than you. Because,
yeah, I don't understand that part.
Because he stayed and danced and did the gritty. And
Yeah, he embarrassed himself, which gave him more points with me.
Wow.
Yeah, he actually waited when the dance floor opened. And
what about Rod B?
C? Yeah, Kevin Dunn, B. He hit on somebody that he thought was single. Nobody was really single there, so shout out to him.
Because he made him single.
He did
single?
His thing, made him single. He really made his thing. Yeah. Rod B asked him yesterday, RBKD, any single ladies talking about, yeah, there was a blonde. How'd it go? He said, we'll see. I was like, what?
Were no singles there. You made somebody single at the wedding?
Do you, Playboy?
Wow.
Do you, Playboy? Yeah. Yeah, I could see Kevin waiting for everybody to get out so he could make his move, make his play, throw his game.
And
that's perfectly fine. He's a single guy.
After the open bar, yeah, of course he did.
It's all good.
Been eyeballing somebody probably the whole since he got there.
Well,
yep, that's her fourth drink. Here we go.
Hey, wow. Can I get you another margarita?
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Nice to see you.
Great time.
It was a great time. And good memories with all the Horn guys. And the bad memory was we were watching the Cowboys game. It was unfolding, and that was disappointing like it was for a lot of you. Hope you had your great weekend. We're recapping it. Dan Quinn, how about the general manager? First off, how about the general manager of the Denver Broncos? His name is George Patton. Like, you're a pretty good leader if your name is George Patton.
Nice.
But no relation to the general. But he flew into Arlington yesterday to meet with both Dan Quinn and Kellen Moore. I wanted to interview both of them. Five teams have asked for interviews with Dan Quinn. Let me get you the list of that.
Yeah, somebody on that staff is going that's a coordinator.
Well, and I think that's a problem. I mean, we talk about when I say what is Mike McCarthy doing, I think it's what is his role? He's not calling plays, offense or defense. That's Kellen Moore and Dan Quinn. John Bones Fossil does the special teams. By the way, did you notice in the game the other day when McCarthy, they scored the touchdown, but they had the penalty, and it had to be John Bones Fossil to go over him and say, hey, we can go for two. We're getting moved up a yard. Oh, go for two.
Oh, boy.
I'm like, come on, McCarthy. What are we doing? He's not inspiring. He's not a motivational coach, it doesn't feel like. We saw him on Hard Knocks. He's bringing nothing to the table in that regard. But I think Dan Quinn's got something. I think if you're staying pat, Dan Quinn brings some energy. He brings juice, something that program needs right now. Obviously, they need discipline.
McCartney needs to get away from that. Don't worry about that concussion. It'll go away. The third year is the charm. It starts to disappear after year three, Zay.
Well, I mean, ask Aaron Rodgers how much he enjoyed playing for Mike McCarthy. I know they won a Super Bowl, but that was way back. They had a great staff, and once that as that staff kind of peeled off, you know how that goes when you win a Super Bowl, you lose a lot of your key guys. You know, some a lot in Green Bay thought Mike McCarthy was exposed, and one of them being Aaron Rodgers. I mean, I don't think the Cowboys get better if they keep McCarthy and lose both coordinators. You know, four teams have asked to talk to Kellen Moore. Five want to talk to Dan Quinn. So we'll see where this goes. He'll come back. The other coaching vacancies.
By the way, I cannot go. I'm 3-0. That's not going to happen from this point on in the playoffs for me. I know I'm on fire, but 2-1 is going to be about it.
You can stay above the bet if you just continue to win games. Get 2-1.
Okay, because 3-0. That's
14-1. Stupid.
Yeah.
You know, that's five straight weeks, Buck. That's five Fridays in a row you've missed one game.
Yeah. Well, that's over with. Now that those, I see these 3-point lines. These 3-point lines.
You helped these folks sweep wild card weekend.
Yes.
You gave them the natty.
I gave them the natty. How about me giving them the natty as the big
one?
Come on. The natty was easy.
It's unreal. We'll be back. B&E on the Horn.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Oh, man, it's official now. Dallas Cowboys no longer in the playoffs, and now we know they own the 24th overall pick in the upcoming NFL draft.
Find yourself a nice guard or tackle.
Guard or tackle. That's about where you can get a good guard. Top interior linemen start going off the board, unless they're like, you know, special, real top end. What's the kid with Indianapolis out of Notre Dame? That big monster. Who went in the top 10. Guards typically go middle of the first round to beyond. That's where the Cowboys are.
Look for that big monster tackle from Minnesota. 6'9".
Yeah, well, they need some help, but that's, you know, I think it's fair to say with the Cowboys that this year's team was not about talent. They've had plenty of good players. But did they achieve at their highest level? Did they, you know, their own mistakes?
Am I thinking that Cooper, this is it? I've watched him for the last 3 years, that...
Well, there's just as I said earlier, John Machota, who covers the Cowboys for The Athletic, tweeted this morning that there is kind of a feel that Amari Cooper might be a cap casualty there. This might be, I mean, this is what Jerry Jones was talking about when we played the audio yesterday after the loss, that, you know, these things start to pile up. I mean, they're already at $217 million in contracts for next year. The cap's not going to be over $210, so they're already over. So the restructures are going to have to begin, and you know, this is the year when Dak Prescott's big contract hits and Zeke's one of those Zeke balloon years from his big contract, which never should have been signed. And that starts to really come get you. And especially based on the production you're getting or not getting from Zeke, and now he's, you know, due a huge paycheck. That's the problem with signing running backs to those kind of contracts, which he did. And Amari Cooper, who is a productive player, caught a touchdown pass the other night. You know, at some point you got to move some guys on just to make some room. So we'll see how they finagle this. Cowboys, Steven, and Jerry have been good at this, restructuring deals and staying good with the cap. But, again, you knew if you're going to sign Cooper, Zeke, and Dak, all three to the elite deals, these years are going to come. I mean, it's going to come where you're going to be really top-heavy and you're really offensive-heavy. But now you look down the road and you know you're going to need a big contract for Trayvon Diggs.
Right.
Who's an all-pro, you're going to need, you know, Micah Parsons is a ways away. You don't have to worry about him right now. But you're already going to have to worry about him.
You're
already thinking about it. So that's where the Cowboys sit, pick 24, as we get this thing rolling.
Somebody says, Bucky, were your teachers telling you that there's no bridge designing in your future with your C? I'm thinking, well, I already knew that. I was smart enough to know that I wasn't going to design bridges. Or I knew after I cut my first frog up, I wasn't going to be doing any surgeries either.
You're talking about the dissection thing?
Oh, that was
science
awful.
Class?
I just destroyed the first frog.
Oh, you mangled it?
Oh, I was supposed to try to get to where the stomach and stuff was.
Yeah, you got to get to the organs. You're trying to identify.
Well,
the
I did
vital
get
organs.
To the organs. That frog had He didn't have any of D's when I started. I just cut a hole in that spot right there.
Okay.
Yeah, I was not going to be a surgeon either.
Well, good. That was that seventh grade science when you cut open the frog?
No, I think it was.
For me, it was seventh grade science.
No,
I remember.
We didn't do it in seventh grade. We didn't start messing with that until I got into Catholic school, into high school. That was ninth grade. We did it in ninth grade when we had biology class, when you'd just be there and you always had to have a, all the guys had a female that were with them, you know, and, you know, you had the, and the young girl that was with me was, like, well, why don't you, I need you to do the cutting. And I went to doing just like I would do when I, when I'd catch a fish down at the pond or something. I just start cutting. Just, oh, where's it supposed to be? Oh, it's right up there. Okay. Slish, slash, slash. I was going OJ in ninth grade.
Well, the, I remember the smell. Remember the
Oh. Zay, did you have to cut one up? When did you do it? You did seventh grade, or were you in high school? Ninth grade, maybe.
I usually checked out when science class. Not my best subject, so I don't remember. I remember dissecting something, but I felt like it was high school.
Wow.
Yeah.
You checked out of that earlier?
Yeah, I wasn't into science. If it wasn't Bill Nye the Science Guy, I wasn't about it.
Wow.
Well, Cowboy fans trying to figure it out. How about, so Dez Bryant, we always go to Dez for clarity on things.
Always.
This is interesting. He was watching, I'm not sure, he's watching Michael Irvin. Yesterday, Michael Irvin and Stephen A. Smith did a show together. What's that show called?
The Screamers. Screamers.
And it was so ridiculous. They were just screaming at each other, like screaming at each other. And they call that, you know, I guess quality television. Stephen A. Smith saying, I told you so. Michael Irvin, the cowboy great, the playmaker, was angry. It was just horrible TV. But during the yelling, Dez Bryant actually tweeted at Stephen A. Smith and says, I hate when I agree with you, Stephen A. And he went on to write in his tweet, the perks of being a cowboy fan or being a cowboy ruin some players, and it's clear. Talking about how that makes them soft. And we talk about that here at the Longhorn situation, right? Country club culture, all the nice things, all the amenities.
All the nice things people are always saying about you.
Yeah. He says, he says, I talk a lot of trash because it's in the off season I put in maximum work. I didn't travel all over the place reaping the perks of being a cowboy. I found some grass and grind like a madman. I hit your local gyms around DFW as my routine every year. I appreciated the opportunity and took advantage of it. You're going to love or hate playing football because I was extreme with what I do and what I love. But he says that's not for everybody. Like, everybody doesn't do the grind. And, you know, it's a cushy spot, but it is the NFL. Now that they're professionals, I know there's some that
are. Oh, no, there's a grind to that now.
In the NFL, for sure. But, I mean, Jerry Jones, it's over the top with the perks and you know, what you get as a cowboy. But at the same time, there are a lot of NFL organizations like that, right? The Texas Longhorns, that universe, that program's different than most, right? I mean, the five-star stuff you get at UT, not every college program gets that. NFL, they're all pretty cushy as far as, you know, they're billion-dollar organizations. They've got a lot as far as amenities go and way they treat the players and those kind of things. But does that make you buying that the perks of being a cowboy make the Cowboys soft mentally? Or is it just the leadership?
It's just the leadership. I
agree with that.
Now, those guys work too hard to get to that level all the most of the time. It doesn't matter whether it's the worst team or the best team. You have to work your ass off to be an NFL football player. It's the leadership that's around you that if those around you think that because you got to the NFL, now you're done learning and you don't need to be coached. No, that's where the problem starts.
The most work has to come because you're playing with elite players.
Right.
And they're always looking to replace you.
But as you say, Mike McCarthy, what is it that you do here? I mean, I'm not. You and I aren't there to practice every day. Maybe that guy's a hell of a teacher. And you know, once again, when you have 14 penalties, when you average the kind of penalties they average, I mean, it's hard to coach stupid.
Yeah, we had the stat earlier of all the games played this year, including the playoffs. Only four times have 14 penalties been called on one team, twice the Cowboys. Twice the Cowboys this year, only two others. That's undisciplined. But again, you're going to have to
Your dad will never say it, but it is not that easy to coach stupid. It's just not. You know that? CC. So, see, I mean, he knows.
We actually got their game tonight. Roger Wallace, Austin High.
Oh, KBVO tonight.
KBVO.
Who and who?
Don't you be using that line.
Austin High.
You can't coach stupid.
Well,
don't
if
do
I
that
use it, it's coming from you.
No.
Hold on. You're doing the game with Roger tonight. It's Austin High and Bowie.
Yeah, at Austin High.
Oh, no. You're going to be getting that Kirk Herbstreit treatment. They're not going to like you.
Oh.
No matter what you say, you're a homer.
Homer.
They know you're a Bowie homer.
Ah, well. It's all right.
That's how that goes. It's like when Aikman.
You'll do it the right way.
Aikman's doing a Cowboys game, and the Eagles fans hate him because he's Troy Aikman. Homer. That's just the way that goes. But as for the Cowboys, look, I mean, the whole walk to Dallas thing, which has never even been an issue for me in 22 years, that's the constant is Jerry Jones, right? Mike McCarthy's the latest guy that doesn't do anything, and Jason Garrett was what is it you do here before that? And if they move on McCarthy, it'll be the same thing. Let's go to the top with Jerry Jones. That's the overriding conversation. Who is it that signed Zeke Elliott to a mega contract and saddled the head coach with that contract? Who is it that signed Jalen Smith to a mega contract and middle linebacker and had to cut him 2 years later? Who gave Amari Cooper elite money? Well, who first of all traded a number one draft pick to get Amari Cooper and then they had to sign him to a $100 million contract? I mean, if these are the best moves for your ball club, that's the general manager. That's Jerry Jones. I mean, I will give Will McClay and the personnel department huge kudos because they've drafted very well. Their draft picks have hit. It's development of those draft picks and then signing not elite players to elite contracts.
I just don't know how you fall for this. Still don't know how you fall for the Zeke Elliott contract.
Pressure. They played poker. And Zeke went to Mexico.
Went to Mexico.
And of course, because Jerry's the ultimate optimist, he felt like, Zeke, this was a team that could go win. Remember Jason Garrett's last year? We're going to go win the Super Bowl. We need Zeke. We can't do it without him. He's coming off being the leading rusher in the NFL. And Jerry gave in. And they didn't win. And they had to fire Jason Garrett. And now here we are 2 years into Mike McCarthy, and they still haven't won. And now here comes the big ticket on that Zeke contract.
Yeah, the big ticket is to be paid this year.
Well, every year. I mean, it was a long-term deal. And here's a guy that says, cut Zeke. Well, that'd be great, but he's still going to be an $18 million cap.
Yeah, no matter what you do. Yeah.
Whether you have him or don't, that's what he's going to cost you against your cap. You'll just have dead money and no Zeke. That's the problem with the contract they signed him to. Instead of letting him go, draft a young running back and build, just keep doing what other teams are doing, going young at that position, young and cheap at the running back spot. I mean, really outside of Derrick Henry in Tennessee and Christian McCaffrey in Carolina, not a lot of examples of teams doling out big contracts to running backs. It's just not the way it's done in the National Football League right
now. Yeah, see, I don't believe it's like that. Places like that make you soft like that in the NFL. That's just, I mean, that is your job then. You know what I mean?
Well, I think there's a part of it. You have to coach it out of them. I mean,
at that level, you're coaching for your family. This is your family you're talking about. You're not talking about for rah-rah university.
Well, it's funny. I was thinking about this the other day because the new Texas wide receivers coach, Brennan Marion, did a cool thing. He was on his TikTok or something or one of his social medias, and he was giving a tour to his followers of the new facilities at Texas, and he was walking around, and holy cow. I mean, it is.
Oh, I know he had to be thinking, this compared to the University of Pittsburgh? Are you kidding me?
And he was blown away.
Of course he was.
And as you're watching it, you're kind of embarrassed, going, this guy was just in the dang Orange Bowl or whatever.
At the University of Pittsburgh.
They just won a conference championship, and that's not what – but look at what this place has, and they haven't won anything. They're not winning, yet this place looks like the Taj Mahal. It's unbelievable. And he's just blown away by the whirlpools and the...
Of course.
It's first class everything. It's first class everything, which at Texas it should be. But, does that make players soft? Does all that, without doing anything to get it, create a culture of softness? It's one of those chicken and egg questions. I don't know. I mean, in Dallas, is it because the Cowboys are always going to be the it thing? You're always going to have TV interviews and hype, and people are going to love you whether you win or not.
Yeah, and I think
you're the big story.
And you can truly make that difference when you're in college still to players. You know what I mean? You get to the NFL, you just say, you're not going to be here. I'm sorry your family's not going to be able to eat in 6 months because you're probably not going to be with us.
In Dallas, because of the success of the triplets and the early Jerry Jones years, and it's such a sports and Cowboys crazy town, whether they win or lose, they're the story. So you're getting.
Well, it's kind of the same here for us. I mean,
I know it's very similar. There's a parallel with UT.
There are so many. There are as many people listening to this radio show in the mornings when they lose games here
as they win.
Yeah, because they want to know what you're saying about them.
But in the NFL with the professionals, does that it's such a hype thing. Look, I don't want to compare it to the Texans, but the Texans are now losing and no one's going to their games. They're going to have to earn their fans back. And like those guys aren't getting the endorsement deals and the radio deals and all the things they used to get. They're going to have to earn it back. Cowboys, win or lose, they're still getting those. And Dallas is still blowing up about the Cowboys. And Jerry Jones is always going to sell the hope and sell this is our year and sell the next big thing. And, you know, I can see where Dez is talking, that can create a level of, just a level of comfort that, you know, we're still the it Cowboys, whether we win or lose. It's an interesting conversation. I don't think there's a correct
answer. Yeah, but the winning Cowboys used to have such pride.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean,
so good.
Really?
Right, they earned that. They earned the credit. They earned America's Team as a moniker. They earned Roger Staubach and obviously Troy and the triplets, and they earned it. This current Cowboys group has not. We'll be back. B&A with you. We'll come back. Isaiah Collier's got your player to watch tonight when the Longhorns play the K-State Wildcats as we preview Texas and K-State. We'll also get you ready for the rest of the day here on the Horn.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Yeah, I can't wait till my little granddaughter, you know, C's get you degrees. Your mom starts yelling up at you.
Yeah, don't say that.
No.
Mamas don't like to hear that.
No, they don't like to hear that. That's not one I'm going to say.
When you're in your fifth year of college or going on six, mama will say, yeah, hey, C's get degrees. Let's get out of here.
Yeah.
That's a conversation we've had this morning. Plenty of Cowboys chatter. Wild card weekend in the rear view. Now looking forward to a tremendous divisional weekend of football. I mean, literally, even Vegas knows how good this is. You know, typically Vegas will power rate teams and games, and then home field gets 3 points, right? It's kind of the way that goes. Well, if that's true, Vegas has these games power rated dead even because the three home teams in the divisional round, three of them are three-point favorites. The Chiefs over the Bills, the Titans over the Bengals, and the Buccaneers over the Rams.
But
all three of those
but
are...
But not Jimmy G's, because that one interceptions, they're giving an extra
two. That's five.
Two. They're giving an extra two?
That's five.
Okay.
That's at five. But the other three are at three. And yeah, the five is probably for a Jimmy G turnover.
And Boza.
And Boza not playing. And extra rest for the Packers and that guy Aaron Rodgers. Plus, keep in mind, that's a San Francisco, California team coming over, and it could be snowing.
Ooh.
And very cold at Lambeau Field. Their style of play can handle that, but that's going to be a very, very cold game with snow in the forecast at Lambeau Field, at least on this Tuesday. But that's the kind of football we're treated to next week. Very evenly matched power teams playing well, all playing well, because there were so many blowouts. Everybody comes out of this weekend feeling really good about themselves. Also, do the Longhorns feel good about themselves tonight on the hardwood? Hoops tonight at the FEC, 7:30 tip time. 7 o'clock pregame right here on the Horn. Texas and Kansas State. Texas already owns a win over K-State in Manhattan earlier this year to start conference play, but that was with K-State dealing with some COVID issues and a short bench and no coach. Now they're here. They're 1-4 in the Big 12, Isaiah Collier, but they picked up a big win on Saturday beating Texas Tech, who had already beaten Baylor and Kansas during the week in this gauntlet known as the Big 12. That leads us to Isaiah's player to watch tonight for the Texas Longhorns.
The player to watch, brought to you by Covert Ford and Chevy of Hutto. Proud members of Covert Auto Group. Go to coverthutto.com.
Yeah, this is my first back-to-back player to watch. Last week I said Timmy Allen has to be the player to watch, and with the game he had against Iowa State, the worst he's had in the Texas uniform, he has to play big this week and tonight versus Kansas State. Kansas State, we didn't see their big man, seven-footer, Davion Bradford. He's huge, takes up a lot of space down low, but if you could bring him outside of that paint and make him work off the dribble by using the guards, then you're in good shape. But you got to stop Pack, who could shoot. These are must wins this week. Simple.
Yeah, well, the Big 12 is so top heavy and so great at the top, as we say. We know that. I don't want to say K-State's at the bottom, but they are. They're 1-4, and they just beat Tech. But remember, Tech was their fourth game of the week, bud.
Right.
Fourth game of the week because of the COVID. Two of them were against top 10 teams, and then a Thursday night game they had to play. So maybe a little dead legged for the Red Raiders. But either way, K-State. Oklahoma State is a team that they have to deal with this week on Saturday.
Yeah, you know, Ian, in the case of the Longhorns, this is we all know that the conference is really difficult, but this is once again, Zay, about your team and what you need to be doing and not about what the other teams. This is, you know, the old coach, this is coach speak kind of deal with the Longhorns. It's about you. We automatically we know how tough everybody else in this conference can be. Even some of the teams that we're talking about are down at the bottom, they can beat you. But this will be about your team tonight. You know, and Zay, you know, you can play as much defense as you want, but if you don't have any scorers, once again, let me just do this. It's about this conference then. If you don't have if you can't have some scores that guys are going to score the basket, you can play all the defense you want. You got to score too. 100%. You got to bring points.
Yeah. Yeah. If you have everybody in this league that's defensive teams, then who's going to separate themselves on the offensive end? And playing Tristan Lacone, Avery Benson ain't going to get it done. It just not. I love those guys. They mean well. I know what they bring to the team. But you got to play your heavy hitters at this point of the season with the consistency and lack thereof.
Even if they're making mistakes.
You got to make the adjustments as coaches. That's your job.
Well, and we're already getting the text of, you know, Chris Beard's no better than Shaka Smart, blah. Look, the one thing we know about Chris Beard teams, and you can say what you want, I'd much rather have Chris Beard as the head coach than Shaka Smart, because Shaka Smart's teams kind of dissolved as the year went on and got worse, and we're playing, they never made March runs. I mean, what was Shaka Smart's deepest March run? Chris Beard's teams at Texas Tech weren't always known for their regular seasons. They were not. And Chris Beard tells us every week, it's about building for the push.
Mm-hmm.
It's about getting better. Now, and putting on some reserve guys like that, like Tristan Lacone and Avery Benson in that game, was that a message sent to some guys?
No, there's no doubt about that in that particular game, yes.
And I will say this for Chris Beard. His track record, this guy played for a national championship. He was a couple of buckets away from winning a national title at Texas Tech with a team similar to this one. It didn't have Jared Culver was their superstar, but Chris Beard has a track record of getting teams to kind of like we're talking about these NFL teams, but playing their best at the most important time.
That's right.
February into March.
Crescendo.
So sure, you can be disappointed with four losses already in January, but Chris Beard, like Shaka Smart was, will be judged on March performance, period. Just like NFL quarterbacks and coaches and teams are judged on January performance. You know, regular season, I want to say, doesn't matter, but it's you're shaping yourself.
That's right. Where
for
it's
the
really,
February
that's
and
right.
March push.
Absolutely.
And that's where we'll see. Did they get better tonight? Is a fair question with K-State 7:30 tip. Buck, have a good Tuesday.
You guys too. Be safe out there.
Yeah, get ready. Get your picks ready for tomorrow because tomorrow is your Friday.
Ready Zay, to give it to you, Zay.
Hey, watch Zay tonight. KBVO doing TV with Roger Wallace, Bowie, and Austin
Heim. Homer.
Don't be a homer tonight, Zay. Don't be a homer. Go Dawgs.